So the title of this message this morning is What Family Looks Like. And as I was, I spent a lot of time this week as I was writing down the names of the families and just details about their births, and just spent a lot of time just praying specifically for these families and just remembering details of their lives and details of just things God has done in their lives, and I just heard very, very, very quickly, what you saw up here is what family looks like. Because you saw all manner of family. I just couldn't ignore the sheer volume of the love of Jesus that has been poured out into each of one of these families as they have yours. These families represent to us the immense love and grace of Jesus in the midst of lots of joy, lots of struggle, lots of chaos, lots of love, lots of grace, every imaginable emotion that we experience when we just live life together. This is the body of Christ we saw up here. We celebrate that every child is a gift of God. Every child is a gift of God. And anybody that's been around here for any length of time knows we are supporters of life, 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 life. We will unapologetically say we are pro-life. And we absolutely believe every child that is conceived is a gift of God. And we will say so unapologetically, and we will stand for life every time. And because we believe that, we are also not blind to the details of how each family got to this place, fully aware of the vastness of God's grace and love as each one of these people said, yes, I want to do this today. I want to do this today. Nobody was coerced. Nobody was... They did it willingly. And so for them to stand up here, sit up here and say, I'm committing my child to work in ways I can't provide. I can't do it all. I need a supernatural advocate, and that's Jesus. So we want to encourage that. So what you saw up here is what family looks like. And tying this message to our go and tell word for 2024, if you haven't been here, if we weren't here last week, I unveiled our word for 2024, and it's go and tell. And I couldn't help, as I was praying for these families and, again, writing down details, that every one of these families has a story to tell about one thing or many things that Jesus has done to show himself strong in their lives, to prove how richly he loves, to prove how deeply he cares, and how time and time again he pours out his grace, grace. And again, this, what family looks like, isn't about just these families, it's about all of you as well. Because you have a story to tell as well. I honestly didn't know how much time I'd have to teach today, because the last thing I wanted to do was just rush through some ceremony that has no meaning, that's just some sort of a, we dedicate these children and go on your way. No, we wanted to allow them and you all to linger a while. I wanted you to know a little bit about who these people are. This is what the family of God looks like. Imperfect, chaotic, messy, noisy, unpredictable, joyful, loving, celebratory, magnificent. Their stories collectively represent all manner of issues. Family conflict sometimes, effects of divorce, substance abuse, death of loved ones, miscarriage, surprise pregnancies. two of these families dealt with severe, severe health issues of their child right at birth. Three of our families, and one wasn't here today, but three of our families were displaced by the train derailment right when they were dealing with the birth of children in two cases. In the middle of that, God was good. In the middle of that, God shows himself strong. In the middle of that, the family of God. This is what family looks like. We support one another. We hold one another up. Sometimes the details of how things happen aren't as important as just demonstrating and showing the love of Jesus, because that's what he does over and over and over again. And at least one of these families that were here today were dealing with the world of adoption, welcoming a child that you didn't give birth to, but saying, this is mine. He's mine. God provided him for us to love and to care for. And how important that realm is in these days when there are so many babies and children that need homes. And again, anybody who's been around here knows that Abundant Life has been a strong, strong advocate for both fostering children and adopting them. And we have representatives in this room. Among the people that are up here, there are love stories, love stories. There's one couple up here that grew up together. They were friends as children, neighbors. But they didn't fall in love until they were adults. That's how God orchestrates lives. We had another that grew up here. Both grew up here, didn't date till they were out of high school. But they fell in love. And they're planted. We had another that met in high school, discovered they might have feelings for one another. They fell in love and got married. All of these families represent in some fashion the grace that Jesus has lavished on them in immeasurable ways, time and time again. And we can live life in his love and in his grace. It's a picture of what family looks like. In Romans 12, this is what family looks like. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's what family looks like. All these instructions here. When we do these things, we do it together, and we do it as we need to do them as things come up. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So again, tying this to our word, go and tell, I introduced our word last week, after service, Kim Blakeney came up and said, when we were worshiping last week, we were singing a song Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you conquer fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. And then it says, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name will not be overcome. And here's what she saw as we were singing that song. I saw this body, and I think of these families that were sitting up here as part of just this today. The steps they took today were this coming to practice. That when we exit the building, we are streams of light going in all directions. Streams of light going in all directions. The streams don't diminish in light at all. They don't diminish. You're light. You are light bearers. You are light bearers. Families up here, families sitting out there, you are light bearers. So as we go and tell, there is light depositing from to us and then from us, to us and from us. That light overtakes the darkness. We don't have to fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. That's from your life. Do you know that that can be from your life as you go and tell, as these families go and tell, even about this day, even about this day. There's someone that needs to hear it. So last week in Open Door class, as I introduced the word up there before I even did here, Katie Ricketts shared something she had read that week from Psalm 24. And again, these families, you represent this scripture. You sitting out there represent this scripture. And it's Psalm 24, 7-9. It's from the Passion. It says, wake up, you living gateways, living gateways. Lift up your heads, you doorways of eternity. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. He is about to come through you. Think about that, and remember this word that we got from Mike Lick a few weeks ago about the glory. Welcome the King of Glory, for he's about to come through you. You families that were up here, I don't know what that's going to look like specifically for you and in your situation and your sphere of influence, but the King of Glory is being poured out. And as you took steps today, he's pouring into you to be poured out. You ask, who is this King of Glory? Yahweh. Yahweh, armed and ready for battle. Yahweh, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateway, and rejoice. Fling wide, you eternal doors. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. Do you see yourself? Again, families up here, families sitting out there. You're a doorway. You're a gateway. You model what family looks like. And not just physical birth family, but the family of God. How we love. How we mourn. And I will reiterate, in this context, Mike Lick's word, this is a word that, and there's copies of it back there, take one home with you. Because this is what Lord's doing. And I'm going to have Mike come up here in a little bit because he has something else to share with us today. But here's this word that he shared on December 31st before our word was unveiled. He didn't know anything about it. The Lord would say today that my glory is in this place. And again, remember the scripture I just read that Katie shared with us. King of Glory. King of Glory. Doorways, gateways. My glory is in this place, and it shall become even greater as you continue to live in me and pray and praise me and worship me, says God. The brightness of my glory shall go forth from this place, and you shall be carriers of my glory to other places, says God. Know that I am doing this, and my word is sure. My word is sure. It shall not come back to me void. it shall accomplish that which I have sent it to do. Know that my glory is in this place, and you shall be carriers, and you shall go forth, and people will see it on you, and they'll wonder, and they'll say, what is this thing that we see? You will respond with my word. I shall put the word of God in your mouth, says God. Know that I shall do it, and I shall accomplish this, says God. And I need to tell you this, that we had a Men of Valor this past week. One of our men shared a testimony of something that happened just a week ago after this word was shared, where they had people in their home that they hadn't seen in a long, long time that came into their home just for a visit, and they were catching up with one another. And the couple just kind of relaxed on the couch, and the daughter welcomed their daughter and took her to the playroom. And the couple said to them afterward, I don't know what this is that we're experiencing by being in your home with you, but there's something about this. And this man said, this word, the detail of that word, that they will see something on you and they'll wonder, what is this thing that we see? Somebody observed that in one of our families, and it was tangible. And so when the Lord is speaking these things to us, He's up to something. And we need to know it. We need to not just slough it off as unimportant, but take it seriously and apply it in whatever ways we know to apply it. And sometimes we're like, I don't even know what to do with that yet. And if that's the case, that's okay. Just wait on it. Keep looking at it. Keep asking, what's this mean for me? What's this mean for my life? Because we get to demonstrate to a lost and dying world what the family of God looks like, with all kinds of pains and losses and mistakes and falling short and forgiveness and everything that comes with a relationship with Jesus. We get to live that out. So I had put that picture up. This one. And I thought, that is so nice and tidy. We're all holding hands and we're all real happy. And I'll guarantee you there were like 20 arguments with people on the way to church here today. And I had already put that out, and I thought, man, if I'd have waited a little bit, this is what I would have done. Writing on the walls and jumping and screaming and messes and... Because that's what family really looks like. Even in the family of God. Even in the family of God. I would love to think that it looked like that. It maybe looks like that if you're Shane and Emma. But they have another one coming. You know, I think, and I so appreciate our founding pastor, Pastor Don and Pauline, because they just never shied away from difficult things. They never shied away from just being real. I went to Dave Render's dad's funeral this week, the other day, and I knew the pastor that was officiating. I had met him before, and I know of him, but I had never heard him in that kind of a setting. And I talked to him quite a bit afterward. And one of the things that spoke to me so clearly about just how he conducted that service was he knew Jack very, very well. Jack and his wife Jan were mentors to him and to his wife. And so he had a very personal connection. And one of the things I loved about being at that service was I told this to the pastor. I said, I've known you and of you for a long time, but I feel like I got to know you. I got to know parts of you because he allowed himself to be real. He allowed himself to feel the loss. There were times when he choked up. There were times when, you know, when he allowed the real emotion of the situation to come through in his life. And that's what family looks like, is when we allow that to just be part of who we are. And Pastor Donna Pauline modeled that for us here. It never had to be all spit and polish and everything. Oh, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Now we get to deal with life and its griefs and disappointments and struggles and pains, and we get to deal with all of that in real terms and in real ways and not shy away from that, even standing up here. We are real people like everybody else. So how we minister and how we love and how we care has everything to do with just be who you are. Sometimes broken, sometimes sad, sometimes disappointed, sometimes happy, sometimes joyful, sometimes you fill in the blank, whatever it is. God knows all about it. And so we don't have to hide from our failures. We don't have to hide from our maybe even shame at times. Jesus came for that. He came for that. Mike, why don't you come on up? This is Mike Glick. He's the one that gave that word that I shared a little bit ago. And he met me at the door and said, I think I have something. He was praying about, should I do this again? And he said, and then I walked out of the restroom and I was standing right there. And he said, I need to ask you about this. And I said, absolutely. This is, you know, this message is so tied to our word because you get to model what family looks like to a world that needs to see a cohesiveness even when it's chaotic, even when there are imperfections, even when things don't always look nice and tidy. So, and I have no idea what this word says. So,
it sort of does go along with what Jeff has been talking about. And I'm going to read from Song of Solomon, the second chapter, 10 through 13. It says, My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I wrote this out because I wanted to make sure I got it right. I believe what God is saying to us today is to rise up or engage ourselves once again, because even though we have been through much hardship and trials in 2023, God is turning the tables in 2024.
Yeah.
He is telling us to rise up and come away with him because he loves us and he has... And we are in his favor. For the winter of our souls, that is, and this is real important, the winter of our souls, the difficulties, the sicknesses, the times of darkness, the uncertainties of life is past. The rain of our lives is over and gone. Our sorrows and tears are abated. The flowers are appearing on the earth. Our lives are beginning to bud and blossom again. and the time of singing is come. It is time for rejoicing and praise. Hope is in the air. Yes. I really felt that. Yes. Hope is in the air. It's yes. it's there.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land, and the turtle dove as a symbol of repentance and purity. We are hearing the sounds of salvation echoing in our land once again. We're hearing this. Also, the fig tree and the grapevines are producing their fruit and giving good smell, giving a good smell. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Again, he says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. So as we offer ourselves and come away with him, waiting on him and seeking his face, will we begin to produce fruits of the Spirit more and more, and the fragrance of God will be noticed
yes.
by all those around us.
Wow.
The fragrance of God.
Yes.
He's got a fragrance.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I'll take it. Thank you. Yeah, just when I think of that, yeah, give God praise. Yes. I think about that phrase, says, you are the aroma of Christ. You are the aroma of Christ. To one, it's life-affirming. To some, it may be death because they don't know Jesus. God is so good to us. So good to us. We're going to pray here in a little bit. If you have a need, if you have a need, we want to pray for you. We want to pour into you. And I know I'm going to call down, we're ready for prayer, I'm going to call down my brother Nate. And I want people just to gather around him and pour into him. And I'm going to call down Dave, and I want people to just gather around him and pour into him. He came here just, he said, I just wanted to come and worship my Jesus and be with family, you know. And he didn't know the title of our message was, this is what family looks like. He had no idea. We talked in our open door class today just about going through transitions in our lives. And the transition, you know, may be anything from, you know, the birth of a child to the death of a loved one to a change in a career or a retirement or caring for elderly parents or some sort of a shift, some sort of a change. And as we talked and we looked up scriptures and we conversed about this idea of transitions, we just all kind of together came to this revelation or conclusion that God is in the details all along the way. He's way ahead of us, and he prepares us. He prepares us for those transitions before we ever even enter them, if we're paying attention. And Connie found this, you know, most of you know I was a reporter, much of my adult life before I became a pastor, and she's been cleaning out boxes of stuff, and I have these old reporter's notebooks. They're these little skinny notebooks that we used to have. And she pulled one out, and she said the Lord spoke to her, and she kept it. She said, take note. Take note. And it was such a current, relevant now word. Take note. And what do we take note of? Take note of what the Holy Spirit is revealing in this day. Take note of the details, of the specific details, the little nudges you have throughout a day. Take note. Because if we belong to him, he is in us, and he is preparing us. He is using us. You are a fragrance, we heard. His glory has come upon us that we might spill it out. And he's giving us assignments over and over again, all over the place, wherever it is that we may be. And we all get to be part of it in whatever way he leads, whatever way he orchestrates. You get to be you.
Now, he'll deal with the weaknesses and the flaws and the sin and the things that we can't deal with ourselves. We need an advocate. It's why we need a Savior. He'll deal with the things that hold us back and the shortcomings and all the things that trip us up. He'll deal with those as we let him. Let him. Let him. It's the only way. Now, I know in the physical winter is just arriving, but that word says it's we're not desolate because of it, that we're alive. We're alive. We're alive. So even in the midst of this physical season, the Lord's saying, don't shut yourself in. Don't shut yourself in. Be a light. Go and tell. This is what family looks like. We get to do this together. We get to celebrate. We get to grieve. We get to laugh. We get to cry. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, I am so grateful that you are just all over this place, just all over this place, just ministering in tender ways, in some cases, and maybe in firm ways in others, whatever is needed, because you can do that. I don't know how you do all that. I don't know how you do what you do, but I know you're so personal. I pray that as we just close out this time together, that you will just in your loving, gentle way, just minister so deeply. We thank you for the families that came out to just support loved ones. That, and I pray that that those who are here, maybe for the first time, you'll just minister to them in personal ways. That they'll leave here today knowing they were touched by your hand, just as they came just to be a support to their child or grandchild. But I pray that just our time together today will just leave something tangible upon all of us. That we are part of the family of God. That you, by sacrificing yourself for us, made it possible for us to fit. Even though we don't have to be like anybody else, even though we can get to be just who we are in you. It's so personal. So just minister in every person in this place, even now, just shining your light, shining your hope, shining your encouragement, pouring it all out, even in these moments of just waiting on you. And I pray as we spend a little bit of time in prayer and worship, that if anybody is so compelled that they just maybe step out of their seat and just bow before you, acknowledge you, talk to you in just real everyday terms. So I thank you for the gentleness of your spirit right now in this place. So full of love, so full of grace. So yeah, if you need prayer, come on forward. I'm going to ask Nate to come on down, some guys to come with him. I'm going to ask Dave to come, some people to come around him. And if there's others that need prayer,